book, the book of Hebrews.
That's right.
Last chapter. Thank you, Donald. I done rewrote the whole thing. That's a long book, yeah. Last chapter. Amen, brother. Thank you. Definitely want to just thank Donald for really putting these two books together for last year, the book of Romans and the book of Hebrews. You know, sometimes you're like, this is my favorite book. I like the whole Bible, but sometimes a book just hits you a certain way, a chapter just hits you a certain way. I guess in certain times of their life. So really grateful Donna doing that. And starting on Wednesday, we'll get a little introduction and we'll start out in the Gospel of John. And want to thank Richard for pulling that together. He's the one that chose the Gospel of John. And so we're going to go through that book. And that book's going to kind of hit on some of the things that you guys talked about on Wednesday, but I want to hear about some topical things. But I look at it like, you know, unless you do it chronologically, there's a chance there to not only be, theological, but some topics can come out of the discussion about the Gospel of John. So I think we'll get a little bit of both from that. So really grateful for Richard for choosing that. Also want to thank Richard for putting together the vocations. He put that together and did a really good job on it. I was really encouraged by that. And want to thank all the brothers for willing to participate in speaking this time around. In the preaching rotation, I think it's going to be great to hear how God's Spirit speaks to all the men as they deliver the message, so it's going to be great. And thank all the sisters who will be sharing also doing the communion welcome and all those events. So really grateful for that. So looking forward to an exciting year. Like, we're going to have a great year, a busy year, with our Beal Conference and Marriage Retreat, Singles Retreat. There's a lot going on, so really excited about that. But it's kind of getting ready to jump in here to the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I love the author. The author, he writes. Really, I look at this book, he just really writes from the heart. His conviction, and of course, during the time there, things that he saw that people were dealing with. And one of the many things I get out of him speaking was Ephesians 4:15, where it talks about speaking the truth in love. You know, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. Of course, that is Christ. Did a little definition, you know, see some meanings and see what some other people thought that the meaning was. And one of the things he says, speaking the truth in love refers to the practice of communicating honestly, indirectly. Some of us don't have a problem doing that. With someone while simultaneously demonstrating care and compassion and respect for their feelings. Aiming to build up, not tear down the relationship.
Yeah.
Often used in a Christian context as a guiding principle for interpersonal interaction. It means being truthful without causing unnecessary harm. Considering the other person's perspective and prioritizing their well-being alongside the need to convey the truth. I thought that was grandma put on that. I can't take credit for what I did right. So, but I thought it was very well put, because a lot of us in here believe in speaking the truth, and sometimes we feel like, how do I get the truth across without being too much of me? Mm-hmm. It needs to be more Christ. As Richard always reminds me, John said, you know, he says, I must decrease, and what? Christ must increase. And I think that's a daily challenge every day. But the author here, that's what he does to this guy. He speaks the truth in love, and he really opens up in the beginning just saying, hey, this is where you're at, this is what's going on, you're in danger of drifting, in danger of falling away, you're losing your focus. As I heard somebody say the other day to me, focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I can relate to that. And this author, he was really kind of letting them know, you need to stay focused on Jesus. Do not let your current circumstances or situations distract you or cause you to what? Drift away. So really looked at that and I thought, wow. And he really lays the groundwork around Jesus is so superior, just from in every aspect, so that nobody would have any argument that could refute that. And so the author, he cares enough for the disciples to address the crisis that they were facing for the purpose of strengthening their faith. I thought both Scott and Chris did a great job kind of talking about faith there. And so the author, him himself, he builds a case for the importance of faith. Hebrews 11, it shows the example of faith. Hebrews 12 speaks about the encouragement of faith. And in this last chapter, Hebrews 13, we will present the evidence of faith that should appear in our own lives.
Amen.
And this is the same thing wanted to appear in their lives. Picking up in Hebrews 13, verse 1, he says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? I thought this was so appropriate, what the author wrote, and tug the hardness of his day, but also, I could relate to this. I could connect to this. Because sometimes, you know, men and women, they do things that kind of make me scared. Like, I don't want no part of that. You don't need to be no part of my life. You need to stay over there. We feel that way sometimes. But he encourages us, number one, we need to love each other. We really do need to love each other as brothers and sisters. He is promoting a family love there. Not just, hey, a stranger love it. Like, you're the family of God. So you need to love each other as such. Talks about hospitalities to strangers. And he says, you know, for by doing so, you have shown hospitality to angels. Man, I don't know, man. When I get to heaven someday, I'm just wondering what the angel is going to say. You know, when I came out, that was me. I'm just wondering about that, you know. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison. Here he wants us to identify the suffering that people are going through, and to identify with that suffering. Try to connect with them during that suffering being mistreated. And of course, he addresses, you know, respecting the marriage and honoring those marriage vows and keeping the bedroom pure. And he says, don't love money. He didn't say money will leave you. He says, don't let money become the love of your life.
Right.
But be content with what you have. I feel like as I get older, I have learned to be content. When I was younger, I seemed like I wanted everything. Now, I say I don't still want some stuff now, but I don't think it drives me so much to where I make foolish decisions, you know, unrighteous decisions. So this is the thing he tells me. But one of the recent things here, considering the persecution that they endured and how that persecution gave birth to the temptation to revert backwards and stop living by faith, it is likely that marriages, hospitality, church officers, and many other people in traditions were affected by these troubling times. But the Bible is clear that there is no division between doctrine and duty or revelation and responsibility.
Right.
We must realize that the two always go together. We need to learn to live by faith and love. The basis for this fellowship is to love one another. As disciples, these Hebrews people no doubt have been rejected by their friends and families. But the deepest kind of fellowship is not based on race or family relationships. It's based on the spiritual life we have in Christ.
Amen.
A couple of scriptures I wanted to note today about how important it is the body of Christ to be family and love one another are very scripture we're familiar with. It's John 13:34. It says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must also love one another. By this, everyone would know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Romans 12:10, he says, be devoted to one another and brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. A church fellowship based on anything other than love for Christ and for one another simply will not last. Love for Christ and love for one another builds family, builds community. Verse 2 speaks about showing hospitality. All of us have had opportunity to show hospitality in our days and have been great at it. You know, I think hospitality is really encouraging. And here he references to the hospitality that was needed to be shown to a lot of people who were traveling, who were poor in those days. It says, where there is true hospitality for one another, there will also be hospitality. This was an important ministry in the early church because persecution drove many believers away from their homes. Also, there were traveling ministers who needed places to stay. Many poor saints could not afford to stay in an inn. And since the churches met in homes, it was natural for a visitor to just stay with his host. Disciples are supposed to be lovers of hospitality, but all saints should be given to hospitality.
Amen.
Romans 12:13-13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. I think that's just so important. Never know, we might need it in anything. Go on to the next verse, I'll make sure I did this right. It should actually be Hebrews 13, never mind. I noticed it on my paper. Typo there. But it says, verse 7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their ways of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, I've been keeping up, Jimmy Carter, he's just been all over the news. And they talked about his leadership, and they talked about his leadership after his presidency. And all the news outlets from BBC, CNN, Fox, and they say out of all the presidents, outside of Harry S. Truman, Jimmy Carter had a great leadership at his presidency. Say he started the Boys and Girls Club in his name throughout places, and not one child did that. Mm-hmm. He said, no, because I don't care about race, color, reason. Everybody here gets a fair start. He flipped the bill for every child. They say where most presidents would go and build libraries and kind of just keep it for money for them, and where most of their speaking engagements to make money, they said Jimmy Carter didn't do that. He took his money and went throughout the world globally and nationally, building up his community, building up the world. People shared about him saying he could find him in the Dollar Tree. I'm thinking like the Dollar Tree. Say you can find him in the Dollar Tree and the Dollar Store. Mm-hmm. Buying stuff. See him in the corner. I said, that's how the type of leadership he was. But people remember him for that. The author here wants us to remember the service of leaders in their day. The great labor of love that these guys did to promote the gospel. Because you see that they were forgetting the leaders and forgetting the message that they preached, which was Christ. And he says, you need to remember the service that your leaders did. Because they did it on behalf of Christ, which is done on behalf of the church. And sometimes I think that we kind of forget these. Now, I remember back in the days, we had Bible talk leaders. We had zone leaders. We had our sector leaders. Then we went to house church leaders, family group leaders, all that, you know. And all those leaders played a role in helping to shape, shape us. God used them to help keep us focused on Jesus. They played their role. And even today right now, all of us in this room will lead in many different ways. And we're having an impact, not only in this church and this small group, but in our community. So amazed and inspired by the women. Women said, this thing has been steady going. And the sisters will remind you, hey, this thing is coming up, keep it going. I look at that. I look at the service in that. I remember that. That is inspiring. And it just grows and it just impacts and it changes lives. Those are examples of leadership to remember. I remember that. The brothers signing up for the preacher rotation. Every last one. I'm encouraged and inspired. I'm so excited, looking forward to how God is going to speak to each and every brother. Mm-hmm. Brothers willing to step up and take the leadership. Mm-hmm. Leadership does have its challenges, but it is fun to stick with it. And so we need to remember our leaders. Just as he encouraged them on their day to remember their leaders, we need to remember our leaders in this room, and we need to remember leaders just everywhere in our movement and in other churches. Pick it up in verse 9, he goes, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. You know, he encourages us not to be carried off by all kinds of strange teachings. He was concerned with the strange teachings that the believers were entertaining. So what are strange teachings of their days? What are strange teachings, period? Anything that distorts the word of God and that goes against the word of God. Some of the strange teachings he could have been referring to was maybe out of 1 Corinthians 8, being associated with pagan idols. It was a part of what they did. Maybe over Colossians, these guys are entertaining ascetic food rules. Or maybe, as 1 John spoke about, having a belief in a Gnostic belief. Anybody know what Gnostic is? Gnosticism, yeah. They'd be like, well, Sidney's not going to hear this, it's just a ghost. He's just not going to get it. That's how they felt about Jesus, you know? But what strange teachings do we struggle with today? Because we got them here in society. There's all kind of weird teachings. It's just crazy stuff, you know? And we ourselves have to be careful to not fall into those temptations of entertaining strange teachings and buying into them. It does more harm than good to ourselves. Yeah. Hebrews 13:15-6 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God sacrifices of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. The words of praise from our lips, coming from our hearts, are like beautiful fruit laid on the altar. How easy it is for suffering saints to complain, but how important it is for them to give thanks to God.
Yes.
Verse 16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. Doing good can cover a multitude of ministries. Sharing food with the needy, transporting people to and from church or other places, sharing money, and perhaps just being a helpful neighbor or a good friend. Now. Going down further, Hebrews 13:17 says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no benefit to you. You know, leaders just serve.
That's right.
You know, when you're young, when you haven't lived life a lot, in a position of authority, you feel like you're somebody important. Your head gets bigger than your body. And you're walking somewhere, I'm the leader, then more serving the people that you're supposed to lead. It happens to everybody. It's happening now to the young generation coming up in house. They're more concerned with, I have a quote unquote position. I'm somebody. And don't have a clue on how to take care of people.
Right.
And that's on. You know, leaders, they are just spiritual guys. That's all they are. I can't tell you what to do as far as like make you do something. I can't force you to do something. I can advise you. I can give you directions. I can give you facts, truth, and my thoughts. But I cannot force you to do anything. Leaders are just spiritual guys. Their faith should be worthy of imitation as they set the example that Jesus is superior in their life in all situations. A leader's life should reflect his faith in Christ and should be an example worth following anything. Hebrews 13:20-21 says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Love that piece there. I'm going to close out here, guys, with this right here. The author has spoken a lot to encourage and kind of just really hit and shake like, this is what your life of faith should look like. Now that we have established that Jesus is superior, your life should reflect that going forward.
Right.
In every situation, in every circumstance. He does not deny that you're not human. He does not deny that you're going to have issues. It's going to make you feel some kind of way or you may not react the best way, but that's what repentance is for. That's part of reflecting. reflecting that Jesus is superior. But here in this, it says, this benediction seems to gather together the major themes of Hebrews. Peace, the resurrection of Christ, the blood, the covenant, spiritual perfection, meaning maturity, and God's work in us.
Yes.
Our Savior in heaven wants to equip us for life on earth. Tenderly, he wants to set the broken bones in our lives so that we might walk straight and run our life's race successfully. He wants to repair the breaks and the nets so that we might catch fish and win some souls along the way.
Amen.
He wants to equip us for battle and outfit us so that we will not be battered in the storms of life. He wants to mature us so that he can work in us through us, so he will be pleased and his will is accomplished. As the good shepherd, Jesus died for the sheep. As the great shepherd, he lives for the sheep in heaven today, working on our behalf. As the chief shepherd, he will come for the sheep at his return. Our shepherd cares for his own in the past, present, and future. So as we go forward today, guys, let us live a life of faith because Jesus is superior. Yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Glory be to God, guys. Amen.